So good morning, everyone, and thank you for coming this morning. For those of you who have been coming a while, you notice that we sometimes we're upstairs, sometimes we're downstairs, and we are once again downstairs. Hopefully this will be our last downstairs, but we'll be down here probably for a good 6 weeks as the hall upstairs is completed. They're now putting in a platform in the front of the hall and a floating wall that'll be a backdrop for the altar and everything. And then in about a week or 10 days, the floors will be refinished. And then it takes a little time for it to dry and all that stuff. And then we'll be up there and hopefully then we'll be there. And again, thank you for those of you who came yesterday. We had a good day of, or half day of work meditation, so good work. And again, thank you to all the people who clean and set up and do all the other activities to maintain our home here in Tampa. As many of you know, we are beginning this week what we are calling a path of awakening, mastering the fundamentals, really looking at understanding that the fundamentals of our tradition are not just something we do once and then move on. There is something that is the foundation of our meditative life, spiritual life, commitment to leading an awakened life. So we are taking these 6 or 8 months to practice as a community. I think I said last week we have about 80 members of our community involved in an intensive. They're practicing with commitments such as a formal practice of an hour a day and reading certain texts and having private interviews with a teacher and meeting in small groups and all that. But I certainly invite everyone, whether you're in the intensive or not, to use these months to also kind of deepen your experience. And these first 3 months, we are focusing on mindful living, mindfulness. In our on the website, there is a section on teaching which delineates in our community the three paths of mindful living, of Dharma practice, and of realization. I'm looking. Oh, here it is. Yeah. So, in the path of mindful living, we state what is the goal of that. This practice is greater calmness and openness in daily life, healthier relations, and a more meaningful and purposeful life. We also say, before transformation can occur, we need to stabilize our minds, ground ourselves in everyday reality, and heal the psycho-emotional wounds that we've carried for years. We need to learn how to lead a mindful life of well-being and create relationships grounded in goodness and honesty. The key words are groundedness, emotional stability, and greater clarity and ease in daily life. We have to understand, and this is important, and forgive me if I say it over and over again, the practice of Buddhism, the practice of Dharma, the practice of meditation, the practice of mindfulness is about the transformation of our life. It is not about the practice of. So if we are practicing meditation, if we are practicing mindfulness, if we are studying various kinds of religious or spiritual teachings or whatever, there has to be an effect something that we experience in our life, right? The life we lead. And what is written here, it says, so experiencing when one is practicing at the level of mindful living, and I'll be spending time today talking about that, this groundedness, emotional stability, greater clarity and ease in daily life is your clue that you are practicing in the right way and that you are beginning to experience the fruits of your activity. In the same way, if we are gardening and we are planting seeds and we're cultivating seeds to grow certain plants, when we get tomatoes, we'll know that our efforts have been successful. If not, then we have to look at what we're doing. And so to have a sense of what these practices are about and what the fruits or results of practicing them are, I think is very beneficial to all of us. And again, it's important that the place we look is not just in, you know, how I'm doing on the cushion, right? But how it's carrying over into my daily life. This is important. This is why we call it a path of mindful living, not simply a path of mindfulness. Right? This is why we talk about a living an awakened life. Right, not just simply about having an experience of awakening. Is that clear? This is very important. And this is really the essence of what is called engaged Buddhism. It is a Buddhism that does not exist outside of our life. It is no different than our life. So if somebody asks you what your practice is, say, my life. That's my practice. So good. So because this is, since I think we began this 3 months focus on mindful living, mastering the fundamentals last Monday, and since today is the first Dharma talk I've given since it's begun, I wanted to spend some time on the fundamentals. Again, think of fundamentals as foundation, right? When you're building a building and you put down the foundation, which is most essential, it is what's not seen, right? You know, when we go to a building, we don't, inspect the foundation, do we? We look at what's in the building and the floors, and right? That's what entrances us. But the most essential thing is the foundation. Right? It is what the whole building rests on. And if the foundation isn't right, if the foundation isn't strong, if the foundation wasn't constructed correctly, no matter how beautiful the edifice that is created on that foundation, it will be problematic. Right? In the same way, and in the same way, I guess, just to push that one a little further, once you put the foundation in, you don't build the building and then pull the foundation out, right? The foundation is always there. It supports. And these fundamental foundation practices of our tradition, which we are going into over these next 8 months, are what it will support us in living a good life. Forever. So, and again, there'll be time for questions at the end, okay? So let's just begin a little bit and see where we get to. Mindfulness. Everybody has heard that word? It's a very popular word these days. It used to be 20, 30 years ago, those of us who talked about mindfulness, we were kind of in an esoteric fringe. But these days, everybody's talking about it, and every publication and every discipline is seeing the benefits of mindfulness. I'd like to begin my discussion of mindfulness with that first word. Mind. Okay. What is a mind? Right? That right now that is listening, that is seeing, that is smelling, that is thinking, feeling, perceiving. That right now, which is doing all that, that is your mind. It is not something hidden. It is not something esoteric. It is not something spiritual. It is not something mystical. It is right here. Okay. So, this mind, right, that is now hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking, feeling, right, is a wondrous thing. Right? It makes life have a capacity of what? I mean, I don't know what the life of a stone is or a rock. But awareness is something kind of a step up, perhaps. And I don't want to have any rocks take offense, and I know they can't speak for themselves. And maybe the life of a rock is quite wonderful. I don't want to take. But consciousness and awareness and this wonderful thing that sees and smells and tastes and touch and feels and thinks and values and, right? And can touch so many wonderful things in life. This is all our mind. Okay. So mindfulness is the capacity of this mind being present. So when it is seeing, touching, feeling, perceiving, thinking, it is doing it with 100% presence. That is the capacity of our mind, but because of a lack of mindfulness, we have to kind of retrain it, right? If you will notice, young children, before they have a lot of cognitive development, before they have a lot of self, when they are little, and all of us were little, right? That awareness, and you'll see it in young children, is a natural function. They have a marvelous capacity to be present, right? And their presence is really outside of time or space. They have a wonderful capacity for total involvement in whatever they're doing. And they don't have to work in it. They don't have to go to workshops. They don't have to cross their legs. They don't have to do any of this stuff. It is a natural capacity of mind to be aware and present. But what has happened to us, for lots of reasons, I won't go into it, that capacity of mindfulness has gotten dimmer and dimmer over the years. And we have ended up being lost in a world of thought, lost in a world of stories and dramas and judgments and perceptions and misperceptions, right? That endlessly befogs this natural capacity of our minds to be present and aware and involved with what's happening right now. So it is because of that, that this marvelous practice of mindfulness needs to be undertaken. So we can begin to return to this natural capacity that we have that allows us to be really alive. When we are only alive to our thoughts about life, we are like disembodied spirits. We are not connected to our experience because we're not having a genuine experience. We're having a primarily what? Cognitive experience, thought experience. And what is the creation of our thoughts? Ourself. And whether that is when we're drinking a cup of tea or looking at a flower or being with another human being or walking, we are involved in something other than what's happening. So the practice of mindfulness is the practice of coming out of that state and remembering and recollecting simply that we are here. I am present. And mindfulness always is a mindfulness of something, right? I am mindfulness of you. Maybe you are mindful of me. We see each other. We hear each other. We are present. And there's nothing else that we need to do in this moment. Is there? Because this is where our life right now is unfolding. Everyone in here is different. Everyone here comes from a different place. We all different dramas. But in this moment, we have come together, and all of us, no matter who we are, what we are, where we've been, where we're going, anything, in this moment, we are all together now. One of Thich Nhat Hanh's drawings, he writes, calligraphy goes, "This is it." It's a very Zen kind of thing. Right? Right? This is it. The only thing that reveals to us that this is it is our capacity to be present, to be mindful of. So mindfulness is, in the Buddhist meditative tradition, the fundamental practice. That's in the Buddhist meditative tradition. Before one learns concentration, before one learns insight, one develops mindfulness, this capacity to be attentively present, the capacity to be directive about one's awareness. This capacity to recollect and recall where one is. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? But this is a marvelous capacity of our minds, right? But it has to be cultivated. This is the practice of mindfulness. When we forget and get distracted, we have lost our mindfulness. We have lost this capacity. So we can see that this kind of flow or this interchange between mindfulness and lack of mindfulness, between being present and forgetting, and then remembering, and then forgetting, and then remembering, is the dynamic of our practice. Now, the reason, again, that mindfulness, which was traditionally a practice primarily talked about within the meditative tradition, We now talk about it in terms of mindful living. I think it is because just of the nature of the way things have worked out for us as human beings, especially those of us here who find ourselves in the 21st century, again, where the capacity of our minds to be anywhere but in the present, right? Where the culture and the messages of our culture encourages us to leave the present moment and to get lost in endless type of drama, melodrama, stimulation, just endless, right? That therefore the practice of mindfulness has now come into and become a necessity just to be happy, just to feel grounded, just to feel connected. We know that, for many decades, disconnection, alienation, feeling of separation, aloneness, these are, the people who write about, the societal, the emotional life and psychological life of human beings today. These are the words they talk about. So we have lost this essential capacity to feel connected, to feel connected to nature. When we don't feel connected to nature, and it's just a thing that we use for ourselves without any sense that it is us, we can use things up. We can exploit, we can do harm, right? Because there's no connection. When we don't feel connection to people in our life, when we don't feel connection to people in our country, in our culture, in our world, and to animals and plants, if we don't feel that essential connection, that oneness, which is our natural state, when we lose that, then again, we can create all kinds of harm. Right. So the practice of mindfulness for me, and obviously many others, kind of moved out of the meditative, solely the meditative world, and really become a basic life, fundamental life skill, the practice of mindfulness. Now, mindfulness tells us that right now there is something called the present moment. Everybody has heard of the present moment? It's another one of those words that people like to talk about. By the way, there's no such thing as the present moment. There's only this. This is the present moment. Now this is the present moment. Now this is the present moment. As soon as I say it, it's gone. It can't keep up with the present moment, right? So we have to let go of all that and just be present. So please, let's all for a moment, let's do our best to be present. Now this is the problem. Because we are such doers, we think, I'm going to do it. I'm going to really focus really hard and getting into this present moment. Can you see? But actually, it's the opposite. Please relax. Relax. Relax your eyes. Relax your ears. Relax your mind. Relax, which means let's just let go of everything. And just be here. Just be here. And just be aware of what's going on. To be aware of what's going on, we have to what? We look. Oh, We listen in a very relaxed way. Don't make a big deal about it. If it's a big deal, you know you're not doing it. You're trying to make something happen. The wonderful thing about living in the present moment, you don't have to do anything. There are a lot of doers in this room. And they go, what the hell does that mean? I don't have to do anything. It can be a little scary. You don't have to do anything. It's all here. So just relax, open. You don't have to make anything happen. It's all happening. You're just, what, looking, hearing. You can smell if you want. You can feel things in your body. Aware of this or that, right? No past, no future, just this. Please smile. This is nice to know. For many people, everything in life is hard. You know, there are many people, everything is hard. Everything's a struggle, everything's difficult, everything's a challenge, right? You know, always having to work on things. Right? A lot of people, you run into them, they tell you what they're working on these days. These are my issues, and it's what I'm working on. You don't have to work on this. For those of you who like to work on things and have lots of projects and check things off, this may be a bit of a disappointment. We like challenges, right? There's no challenge here. Just relax. You know, just relax. You see, everybody can do this, can't you? This is our home. This is our gift. But we leave it. We leave it. And you will notice that the more you're able to live in relaxed awareness, mindfulness of wherever and whatever you are, and that's everything. Another aspect of mindfulness is there is no comparative judgmental quality to it. In other words, it is just willing to be present to whatever is happening. Mindfulness does not say, this I want, this I don't want, this is good, this is bad, this I want to be mindful of, this I don't want to be mindful of. Right? That's again coming from our discriminatory thinking mind. Mindfulness just is what? Yeah, it's just a light. You know, anywhere you flash the light, it just lights up. Right? Anybody ever flashlight say, "Oh, stop! Don't light that up. Don't make me light that up." We laugh. It's so silly. The light does not discriminate. It'll light up anything. Mindfulness is like that. It just lights up. Whatever we are present to. Thich Nhat Hanh. Thich Nhat Hanh often talks about the practice of mindfulness as the practice of touching, which I think is quite wonderful because we have a sense, you know, that when we touch something, we are more intimate with it, right? When we touch this glass, or it's a connection, you know. And so the idea that somehow when we are looking at something, we are touching it. With our eyes, we are connecting, ears, touching. Mindfulness is a way to touch whatever we are present to. So, present moment is easy. It's always what's happening right now. And you get there by simply what? Relaxing. if you think you get there by, got to focus on this, got to be mindful, you're taking yourself away from it. This is very important. Just relax. Let go. And be present. Oh. Take a breath. Yeah. Wow. Where the hell have I been for the last 10 minutes? You know? What kind of drama have I gotten lost in? Right? Everybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You know, life was happening right in front of me and I'm off in my own storyland. Relax. Be aware. Be present. And touch whatever is you're in front of. Let me just say something about past and future. It doesn't exist. And everybody in here knows that. And yet, we spend half our life ruminating about the past, planning for the future, fantasizing, living in expectations, role rehearsing, I mean, right, endlessly. As if it's real. So please, when you hear these things like past doesn't exist, future doesn't exist, please reflect deeply on that. Our past does not exist. It is gone. It is gone. Does everybody know that? Is there anybody who doesn't believe that? Don't be embarrassed. The past is gone. Everything that has happened to us has already happened. It is gone. It is not real. It is not happening now. And whether that imagined past, remembered past, pictured past, we perceive as good or bad, happy or sad, it doesn't matter. It is gone. That statement in itself has profound implications. It's also very, I think, disconcerting. Because most of us live our life with a sense of our own history and other people's history that is very alive to us. And the idea of that is just a story that we recall is very disconcerting, frightening, disappointing. Much of our identities hinge on that. Future moment is anything that hasn't happened yet. Does not exist. Of course it doesn't exist. It hasn't happened. It only exists as what? A thought. A fantasy. It's not real. Now, knowing that, it doesn't mean one can't, you know, if you run into your friends from high school and you want to talk about old times, yeah. But you're just telling stories, right? It's all gone. It's not something they have to identify with, cling to, be attached to. And the same way with the future. We have some planning to do, I'll see you on such and such a date, or, you know, that's all. There's only this. There's only this. And this is enough to be happy. Whatever your past has been, good, bad, indifferent, the only thing you have available to you is how you want this moment to be. That's all. That's so important. Continuing to define terms. We hear terms like awaken, wake up, right? So to lead an awakened life means that we lead a life that is not dreamlike. Dreams are not real, they are simply mental events. When we wake up, we know that. In the same way, if we live a life of purely mental events, we are not awake. To become awake, to lead an awakened life, means a life that is very present and has the capacity to see clearly and insightfully what is happening right now. That's enough. And if your need to dig around in the past is to help you understand more clearly the present, well, that's okay. Looking deeply is okay. But still, we need to what? Yeah, because we need to, if we're going to act, we will need to act right now. So, to lead an awakened life means that we are awake moment to moment, fully present, fully aware, open, spacious, willing to be present to whatever is going on without judgment of good, bad, indifferent, and responding as needed. Hopefully responding from a place of wisdom, compassion, good things like that. Any questions about what we've talked about so far? Or challenges? Anybody have a different take on things? Anybody want to stand up for distraction and dispersion? The joys of endlessly ruminating on the past? Right? And there are many people, I mean, we are so sick that we love to ruminate on bad past things. Right? I mean, we'll just play the bad stuff over and over again. We'll just play every bad experience and every mistake we've made and every disappointment and loss. Right? For what purpose? For what purpose? To make ourselves miserable? To feel bad? Right? None of us in our right mind would say, yeah, my purpose in life is to feel bad. And I'm going to do everything I can to make myself feel that way. If that's my purpose in life. Yes.
I have a question.
Yes.
I had something recently happen, and sometimes I would reminisce about something. Well, what if I had done this? Yeah. Why didn't I do it this way? Then this may not have happened, and I won't feel guilty. So why do you do that? It's all ingrained in childhood.
Well, again, as I said, there is, we do have this mind, which has this capacity to look into things, which is good. So in other words, what I'm talking about when I talk about rumination, I talk about this incessant repetition, going over and over, same results, same bad feeling. But if something happened, and something happens to all of us, some experience or something, and it produced a negative result, to kind of, in a mindful way, right? Now again, listen to what I'm saying, in a mindful way. There's no judgment, there's no blame, it's just kind of, let me look into that situation, hopefully 360, Right, I don't just see it from my side, their side, but I really can kind of have a really, good objective view, and to see perhaps what caused it to unfold the way it is, to see that there, even though at the time I did this or didn't do this, I see, gee, there were other options. I would say that's a good use of the mind, because we want to decrease suffering and if there are patterns. But again, can you see that is a very deliberate, concentrated, insightful way of using this mind, which is what I was talking about, is that other thing, where we just keep replaying the incident over and over again, focusing on the guilt, focusing on the either mine or theirs. That is that misuse. Is that clear? So I'm not saying that. That insight and looking deeply into situations isn't good. It can be very helpful. I mean, we want to get unstuck. We want to be free. Dora, yes.
I wanted to comment on your suggestion during our intensive to limit the use of electronics.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize how, not addictive, but...
Well, that's a good word.
I was just in Italy for 2 weeks. I didn't have a phone.
Mm.
And I thought, well, this is great. I can interact with people. And they were all in their phone. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Everywhere you travel, people had an iPad or a phone.
Yeah.
They weren't talking or interacting. So, thank you. I'm going to really work on that.
Good. Yeah, this is a counter movement. We're starting. Again, the problem isn't the phone. I mean, I guess that's not totally true. I mean, there is something about these kinds of this kind of media which makes it addictive. So I think that we have to be careful with it. But you're right. It is so easy. There are so many great minds at work developing these endless ways of just making the access to information and stimulation and entertainment just, easier and easier to access, more and more immediate. And, there was recently I saw a cartoon where it's like a city, and in the city, everybody is walking around, with those white canes like a blind person. So they're all walking around because everybody's got this thing they're looking at. the look, So that's...
It also reminded me of the time that you had said last year about people travel, and instead of enjoying the Eiffel Tower, they keep taking their picture in front of the Eiffel Tower, and I vowed not to take any pictures. And the girl I was traveling with kept, stand over there, and she kept taking pictures. And I said, I'm not taking any pictures.
But again, because again, there's nothing inherently wrong with taking pictures, but what that's about is... we begin to see our life as a collection of photo opportunities, as opposed to having a real experience. And unfortunately, if we want a real experience, we have to be present and involved. There's no other way to do it. So, now bringing it into... the practice of. So, like we did here today, we did what? We sat, and in our sitting, the instructions were, can we learn to just be present to the experience of what's going on as we sit? The physical experience of sitting, the physical experience of breathing. And if sounds arise, or sights arise, or thoughts arise, we don't repress them. We don't say bad. We just don't grab on. We don't attach. We just let things come and go, right? And we're at ease. We are mindful. Mindfulness is like, the room is all just lit up, right? I can see everything. And I'm just sitting here enjoying it. Right? I don't have to tell you stop, you start, I don't want you in here, you get out of here, come on, I want more of you in here. right? Can you see? That's agitation. That's not the practice of mindfulness. That's not the practice of awareness. The practice of mindfulness awareness is the light's on. And I've given up being the master of control and manipulation. The lights are on. It's a public square. I'm not here to tell who can walk through or who can not walk through. That's why we say that the mind of mindfulness, the mind of awareness, is also the mind of equanimity. There's that calmness. We're open to everything. Now, so in our formal practice, we sit the way I described. In our walking practice, we're very focused. But then when we go about in our life, and do not think that you are going to be going around in your life with a degree of focus that you have, let's say, on retreat or when you come to meditation. There's too much going on out there, right? A lot of stimulation, plus we have activity. But what you want to do is begin to bring that mindfulness into this world and bring the world into your mindfulness. Okay? So they meet somewhere in the middle. So a mindful life means what? If you're practicing mindful living, your life is what's ever happening, right? Please understand what I just said. Your life is whatever is happening. There's no such thing as, here's my life and here's my mindful life. Mindfulness is such a wonderful practice because it allows you to be and do whatever you are. Right? So if you have a job and you have a certain work, you are just whatever it is that you're supposed to be doing, you're just doing. Whatever it is, you're just doing it. By the way, that's what you're doing anyhow, isn't it? Well, that's what we're getting paid for. So, we're just doing what we're doing. There's no drama. There's no melodrama. There's no judgment, good, bad, I don't want to be here, I don't want to be there, why is this happening, this shouldn't be happening, oh, I hate doing this, oh, I'd much be rather doing that. You know all that stuff? That comes from a mind that is not present. That comes from a mind that is separated and lost in its own perceptions, its own stories. It is a mind that is not free. Free what? Free just to be. Living in the present moment is not some ideal place. It's not some ideal moment. You know? It's your life. It's like when you get up in the morning, yeah, eyes open. Here I am. Where am I? I'm in bed. I feel my body. I'm breathing. That's all. I set my intention for the day, 24 brand new hours to live in mindfulness and awareness. I get up. I know my feet are touching the ground. I walk. When I get up, I walk to the bathroom. I don't know what you do. I walk. I walk to the bathroom. I'm just walking to the bathroom. I'm just doing what I'm doing. I'm splashing water on my face. Getting some clothes on. Go downstairs. Make some tea. Walking down the stairs, knowing I'm walking down the stairs. I mean, do I need to be planning my day? Do I need to be thinking about what happened yesterday? Is that going to help me walk down the stairs better? No, that'll help me fall. Right? Very simple. can read the newspaper. Just when you're reading the newspaper, be present to it. And be present to the way you're responding to it. I mean, over these coming weeks and months, we'll talk about mindfulness of feelings and mindfulness of thoughts, which are very important. But we begin with this simple, the more physical, the more sensual aspect of living in the present. You know, we need to all come in the ballpark, right? So when we're talking to somebody, we see them. And we don't see them through some kind of perceptual, conceptual judgment story about who they are, or who they were, or who I want them to be, or who they... We're just present to them. Fresh. Never saw them before. This moment is fresh. And when they talk, you listen. How wonderful. Just listen. Don't be interpreting, don't be judging. Just listen. Don't be thinking about where you were. Don't be thinking about where you need to go. Just be present to that human being. And these are often the people we live with, people we're friends with. Right? The dog. You know, anybody have a dog? Why do you love a dog? They're always in the present moment. You know, they don't hold resentments, right? They're not mulling over yesterday and you didn't... You didn't feed him on time, and you didn't get home, and they had to, you know, by the time you took him for a walk, they were just, you know, bursting. You know, they don't hold on to anything, do they? They're always happy to see you. You know, whether you're bathed or unbathed, whether you got a raise at work or didn't, right? They're in the present. That's why people love pets. That's why people love little children. They're in the present. We can also be that way, but we have to retrain these minds of ours. So, there is the formal practice of mindfulness meditation, sitting, walking, and then there is the daily life mindful living that we all want to engage in. Let me just, before I end tonight, there is a piece that we have to talk about. I'm sorry to say this, but to be successful at what we're talking about, there has to be some degree of self-discipline and effort. It's sad but true. It will not happen by itself. By itself, unfortunately, and now things will just continue to unfold the way they always have. So the practice of meditation, the practice of mindfulness, the practice of living in the present moment is something that we have to apply ourselves to. There has to be an intentional aspect that it is in our consciousness about how we want to live. I want to live a mindful life. I understand what a mindful life is. I understand what it means to be mindful in this situation and that situation. And I am going to learn to work with this mind that is all over this place. In Buddhism, it's called monkey mind. Everybody, I'm sure, has heard of monkey mind, jumping here, jumping there. I'm going to have to work with this monkey mind so we have a responsive relationship. So it takes some degree of discipline, some degree of energetic application, some degree of intentionality. It is... We have to understand that our minds are more like ocean liners than canoes or kayaks. They do not turn on a dime. It's more of a, like that. It's a slow, you know, we make efforts, and over time we see this transformation occurring. But, you know, the turn has to be made. Again, I think last week somebody talked about payoff. Yeah, you have to understand that there is a payoff. Remember where we began today. We said the payoff. Groundedness, emotional stability, greater clarity and ease in daily life. There's a payoff. There's something that we can experience, something we can feel. Our minds at ease. Our capacity to enjoy life much richer. To enjoy relationships. To enjoy just the simple things in life. Everybody says, you know, gotta slow down and learn to smell the roses. Anybody ever heard that? Where did that come from? How many people have said that for what? But nobody knows how to do it. We know in our moments of sanity how important that is. We know we're not doing it. Right? And yet there's some kind of sense, yeah, it's in the simple things. Right? It's in the very human things that make this life meaningful and worthwhile. It's our capacity to relate to each other and connect with each other, right? That's what's worthwhile, to connect to nature, to connect to animals, right? Mindfulness teaches us how to connect deeply. And out of that comes this happiness. It's not a ha-ha happiness. It's not a medicinal high happiness. It's something much it's simpler. It's simpler. So good. So this is the beginning. My own talks and other people who are presenting over these next months will all be dealing with some aspect of mindfulness practice, mindfulness living. We are working through like we began today, primarily with mindfulness of the body and kind of physical aspects of mindful living. But over these next months, we will move into key areas of mindfulness of feelings and mindfulness of thoughts and perceptions, how to be mindful in dealing with the objects of the world, the things of the world, relationships, all those things. They will all be dealt with over these next months. So again, whether you're in the intensive or a member of FCM or just come to enjoy, join into this in your own way to kind of set aside this time over these next months to put more energy into allowing yourself to feel the fruits of what it's like to lead a mindful life. So thank you.